More parables. That is fun. I'm excited to be with you again for this last part of Mark 4. Mark 4 is the kingdom parables that Mark recorded that Jesus told, and I just love them. Now, one of my earliest memories is my dad picking me up, taking me outside to watch Sputnik. Sputnik was the very first satellite ever put into orbit. I still like science fiction since that day. Now, to get that Sputnik up there, it's called a trajectory. You're familiar with this, but it's the force that projects a projectile on a pathway. So, I don't know, you've watched NASA launches. That's a trajectory that gets to the moon, and if I ever get a chance, to go to Mars. The trajectory. And I'm suggesting that these parables are something of a kingdom trajectory, a pathway that those with ears to hear Jesus' word, that's the pathway we're on, this kingdom pathway. This is what Jesus announced in his first sermon. The time is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. And these parables that we'll look at today are part of the kingdom trajectory or the kingdom dynamics, if you will, of what it means to be on that pathway. Oop, lost my place here. The light, let's have the slide about the lamp. Now, last week, it seemed like in one of that parables that Jesus told parables so people wouldn't understand, but that's really not his intent. He tells people parables so people will understand. He didn't intend to hide the light, but to show the light. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something with me here. Do you all know that little song, This Little Light of Mine? I'd like us to sing two verses of This Little Light of Mine. This Little Light of Mine, and then verse 2, hide it under a bushel, no. Let's all sing those together if you want. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Sometimes those Sunday school hymns, songs are a whole sermon in themselves. And that's the point of this thing right here. The reason Jesus told parables was so that we would see what's going on, that we would understand. Now, we talked about that last week. We're talking about next week. This next one is really interesting. To those who have, more is given. To those who have not, even what they have is taken away. This is a strange concept, isn't it? But I think we understand it more than we think we do. It's compound interest is another way to say it. When we respond to Jesus, he's able to give us more. Positive responsiveness is part of the secret of the kingdom. And I don't know if you noticed, as our sister was reading, at the end of this passage it says Jesus kept telling them more parables. He didn't say anything without a parable. It's his way to invite us in. Now, when we think of in the Mark's story, who is getting more? By the way, Mark is great at this. He's great at defining his own terms by the way he tells the story. Who is responding positively and getting more? It's the disciples themselves. They responded by asking him, we don't know what you're talking about. He gave them an explanation of the parable. He gave them three more parables, and then he kept giving them more parables as he went along, as they responded, as they were able to hear. Who is it in the story, in Mark's story, who's losing it all? Well, it's the religious experts. See, these religious experts were amazing in their commitment. Most of them have memorized the entire Old Testament. They certainly had memorized the five books of the law. They certainly could quote every of the Ten Commandments. And yet, in their response to the Lord, they launched a murder conspiracy against him. We see that come to fruit at the end of the book. So they lost all sense of the connection with morality. They had lost it. Later on in Mark 11 to 13, Jesus predicts that they're going to lose their temple, the center point of their whole religion. AD 70, that came true. Rome leveled Jerusalem. They lost their temple. And you know what sits on the temple site today? Who knows what sits on the Temple Mount? It's a mosque. There's a Muslim mosque sitting on the... See, the disciples responded and got more and more faithfulness and kingdom trajectory. Those who didn't lost it all. And by the way, that's going to be the reflection at the end for our application, is to think for a few minutes about our own trajectory. Those who have, the measure you use is the measure that will be used to you. This is a kingdom dynamic. I've watched it in my own life. The times when you respond positively, more opportunity comes. The times you get stuck on a downward path, you start losing touch. This is a kingdom dynamic. Responsiveness, positive responsiveness to the Lord, enables him to move us further. Okay. Now, this next story is about the growing seed. I especially like this story because I have lived it for the last 30 years. I don't know if you can see in the background, but you can see little tiny white stuff in the blue. The background is water, rice field water, and the little white things are the seeds laying in the water. We saw the airplanes seeding them last week, and those of us who are farmers walk around, spend a lot of time driving around the field looking at the initial shoots. And then there's been many times driving around my rice field looking at those bare seeds, and my stomach tightens up, and I think, I've killed it. It happened every year. You think I would learn. But eventually then there's a blade, a good leaf. Then there's the immature fruit. And then the harvest comes. We just finished up rice harvest. Well, I didn't just finish up. My only farming nowadays is done on the phone. My son finished harvest. Steve finished harvest. Kevin finished harvest. Now, even though I drove around and felt like I've killed it, I still began working on my combine to get ready for harvest. See, this is another kingdom dynamic. The power of that seed of the Lord, the power of the Word, does grow. We don't know how. You watch it, but it does grow. The power of the kingdom of God is the Word of Jesus Christ bringing life out of the soil, people like us. Now, when you look at a little seed, this is a good... A seed doesn't look that powerful, but when it comes to fruit, it's amazing. Now, this happened... let's watch... I'm going to bring you into our rice farmer life a little bit by watching a little bit of harvest. I've listened to that sound for thousands of hours, literally. But this is harvest. We get ready for this. Is what you work all year for, is for the harvest. And I want to let you have a taste of that. If that seems like a long time, 10 hours a day every day is even longer. You prepare for harvest. That's what the kingdom of God is looking toward. Preparing for, it's God's intent for harvest, kingdom harvest to come. Planting is, at least for rice farmers, is the most difficult part of the year. It's really hard work. And you spend, in terms of your crop budget, you've spent maybe 60% of your budget by the time you get that dead seed on the bare ground. But you prepare for harvest all along. Here's some suggestions of how we can mimic that parable of the seed that's cast on the ground. It grows, we don't know how, but we're watching for harvest. I was reading a book recently about, I think it was about church growth or the expansion of the kingdom. And you know, I love missions. Missions have all kinds of strategies and plans. But this person said, the way the kingdom has grown the most over the years is by people gossiping the gospel. Just talking about it. Just talking about the gospel spreads the word. We can do this easily. Just mention something about the Lord or your Bible verse that you've read. Just mention it to someone in passing, naturally. We don't have to preach big sermons. We just gossip the gospel. And then where's the sister that's practicing her testimony? We should be ready with a testimony to tell a story, just in case someone is ready. Watch. Watch. Watch for responsiveness. The seed is sown. We don't bring the growth. I used to call myself a rice grower. I finally realized I can't make it grow. I cannot make it grow. I can sow it, I can watch it, I can harvest it, but the seed has the power of growth. When it comes to sharing the gospel, we don't have to cause, we cannot make it happen. We can sow the seed, but then, and I think in this story, I may be pushing it too far, we can drive our pickup around the field and watch. And what do you watch for? Well, if someone asks a question, this is exactly what Jesus was looking for. You're seeing responsiveness. Give an answer that's appropriate. Watch for times of crisis in people's lives when there's difficulties, unknown things, all kinds of things happen. Those are potentially times of responsiveness, not for us to preach a sermon, but I don't know if you've done this. I've done this a few times. I wish you did it more. Have you ever asked someone you don't really know, can I pray for you? That is one of the most fun things you can do. If people always say, oh, yes, I would like someone to pray for me. And that's an opportunity to bring people into the Lord's presence. Try that sometime when someone looks troubled. I was visiting somebody in the hospital, just talked to somebody in the hallway one time. Tony does this all the time. They looked really upset, and they said, could I pray for you? And they said, oh, yes, I want some prayer. It's a great way to spread the gospel. Invite, if people are responsive, you know, you got to watch. What stage is the seed in? How's it growing? What do I do? Invite them to something. There's all kinds of responses. And at some point, be prepared to ask, when it's the right time, what stops you from following Jesus? Just something like that. The seed, the power of the seed is amazing. And it grows in people's hearts. We can help sow it, and we can respond to it. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's like the smallest seed, but it gets really big. It gets really big. Now, at this time, when Jesus told this parable, you could maybe argue that he was the only one in the kingdom of God, that the kingdom was, and now that's probably not true, in the big picture. But from when the time Jesus sowed that seed, that mustard seed, in Israel, take out a globe sometime and stretch a string from Galilee to Chico. We are pretty much the ends of the earth. It worked. The gospel starts small, but it gets really big. Like this story, where's Ed? That story Ed was telling, nobody sees that happening, food going around the world, but that's the kingdom of God in action. It is happening. It's really big. It's big geographically, and it's big internally. I want to tell you a personal story here. Some of you know, I spent from 2012 to, would you put the China slide up? From 2012 to about 18, I traveled to China about 20 times. China has a fascinating history that I think illustrates the mustard seed. From in the 1800s until about 1950, there were about 50,000 missionaries who went to China, foreign missionaries, non-Chinese, sharing the gospel. They were planting seed. In 1949, it's a big year in the Chinese history. That's the year Chairman Mao and the Communist Party won the battle for control of China. The nationalists were banished to Taiwan, and the Communist Party under Chairman Mao took over and expelled every single foreigner in the country, including all the missionaries. China's a little xenophobic even to this day, but I remember hearing David Adney. He was one of the expelled missionaries. I heard him speak at Urbana 76. I think Nancy and I were there together. China watchers in that period from 1949 until about 1980, when Deng Xiaoping reopened China to the rest of the world. Speculation was there would be no church in China, that Mao, with his cultural revolution, Chairman Mao, will have wiped it out. Well, lo and behold, when we began to hear again, the church in China had exploded. It was huge. In 1980, as big as 6 million people in the church in China. 2010, maybe 100 million. Some project by 2030, 2.5 million. See, the seed of the kingdom of God does not look that significant. But as it grows, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The power is in the seed and in the responsiveness of the soil. The power is Jesus' word in our lives doing something new. It's really exciting. The gospel gets big geographically and nationally. It also gets really big inside of us over a lifetime as it grows. And I want to tell a story. There's several people here in this room that I wanted to tell this story about, but I'm going to tell it about Bob and Debbie Adhikari. The seed of the gospel that came to them. Would you put up the picture of Bob and Debbie? Doesn't work? Anyway, I have a picture of Bob Adhikari on my PowerPoint that doesn't work. And his wife, Debbie. Nancy and I took him out to dinner in Nagarkot, about an hour outside of Kathmandu. Bob grew up, he's about my age, a little younger. He grew up in southern Nepal as a Hindu boy. His father was a government ruler. His grandfather was a Hindu holy man. When Bob was a little boy, he rode an elephant to school. I mean, it's a different world in southern Nepal, stepping back in ages. In his teens, early 20s, they sent Bob to Texas to become an airline pilot. That was a really good job in Nepal. To support himself, Bob would knock on doors and sell vacuum cleaners. He was a vacuum cleaner salesman. Actually, his real name is Prajwal. He would knock on the door and say, "My name is Prajwal, I'm here to sell you the vacuum cleaner." By the way, that's when he changed his name to Bob. One guy said, "Yeah, I'll listen to your spiel, but I want you to listen to my story." And this guy, who Bob doesn't even remember, doesn't even know who it was, planted the seed of the gospel in Bob's life. He became eventually a believer, trained himself by doing street preaching in bars in Texas, met a Kansas girl, Debbie, who they married, moved back to their ancestral home. Nancy and I, some of us have been to this place. It's not an easy place to live. I think Debbie was the first non-Indian person, non-Hindu person they had ever seen. Debbie would wake up every morning in the ancestral home, really a shack, a shed, and the whole yard was full of people standing there waiting to see the foreigner. At that time, it was about 30 years ago, as far as we know, there were no believers in Nepal, in that part of Nepal, the state of Sarlahi. The gospel grew and grew and grew within Bob and Debbie to the point where there was almost no room for anything else. And the fruit of their seed sowing today is several thousand believers in this area. To see the gospel seed planted in the heart of an all-in Hindu turn into a kingdom of God movement, it's just fascinating. So this mustard seed that looks insignificant, it gets really big. Now, the ultimate harvest of this is still to come, but there's an interim harvest for us. Okay, thanks for listening. Here's my reflection slide for us today. Does this one work? Oh, here it is. I'm going to just stop talking here in a minute and ask us to reflect on our own trajectories. Well, you could think about the Firm Family Church movement if you want to reflect on that. You could think about our seed sowing or your own seed sowing. Or you could think about your personal trend. So just for a few minutes, would you just stop and pick one of those things and think, okay, here's where I am now in terms of my kingdom trajectory. And then would you look back 5 years and think, where was I then in my kingdom trajectory? Is this making sense, what I'm asking you to do? And then just reflect, okay, am I getting more? Remember, to those who have faithfulness, responsiveness, more things happen. To those who don't have that listening ear, we begin to see erosion. So I'm going to stop talking for just a minute and ask you, if you want to pull your phone out and make a note, that's fine too. Or you could just think, by the way, I'm not going to ask you to report on your findings, but I do want to give you just a second to reflect. Thanks for doing that. You might, something that's really fun sometime, if you're really feeling reflective, is to make a little life timeline and just note the places where the Lord has really intervened and you have said, yes, yes, I will follow. Now, we talked about this last week. The responsiveness to the Lord can be as simple as what the disciples said, we don't get it. See, and we'll see more of this next week, actually, when we talk about the parable of the storm, or the story of the great storm. It's the responsiveness, it's not the correct, it's not the, it's the responsiveness that counts. And here's the last slide trying to emphasize that. This is what the parables are about, having ears to hear. I went back and counted that in chapter 4, I think hearing or listening is mentioned maybe 16 times. The word of the Lord is mentioned many times. It's about hearing, and not just hearing, but positively responding. May we have ears to hear and respond. Amen.